If you'd like to be seated, then Wendy's going to come and bring us our Bible reading for this morning.
Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The person with two tunics should share with the one who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely, to be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, his winnowing fork in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preach the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Fabulous. Thank you, Wendy. Shall we pray together? So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, my guess is that that's a Bible reading that many of you have heard many times before. Did you notice that it was a sermon that John the Baptist was giving on the banks of the Jordan? And his opening words to his listeners were, "You brood of vipers." I've often wondered what it would be like if I was to start one of my sermons with, "You brood of vipers." Some pretty extraordinary opening words, I think you would probably agree. So, John the Baptist, what is it that we might learn from him this morning and his sermon and opening words to the people on the Jordan all those hundreds of years ago? Well, just on Thursday afternoon, later on in the afternoon, as it's sort of my day off on Friday, I was heading up to see my parents who live in Surrey. My sister had come over from Ethiopia with her daughter, and so we were having a bit of a family celebration, an early Christmas, if you like, up at my parents'. So Julia and I jumped in the car at about sort of 4 o'clock and started heading up the M4. We'd gone a little way, and then all of a sudden we hit a traffic jam. The traffic was backed up in all three lanes for miles and miles and miles. The whole motorway had been closed because there'd been some kind of chemical spillage on the M4. And so we sat in the car and we waited. And we waited some more. And we waited some more. And I can think, you can well imagine what the scenario, sitting in the car, I've got steam blowing out of my ears after about 5 minutes. Julia's getting impatient with me losing my rag. All is well as we're heading off to celebrate Christmas with the family. But have you noticed how this season is often characterized by waiting? Waiting for Christmas holidays. All the kids are itching for term to end, the fun and the celebrations to begin. Every day they're waiting to open that Advent calendar door and to see what chocolate is behind it. Waiting for Christmas morning, gathering round the Christmas tree, unwrapping all of those presents, that sense of excitement building, looking forward to the Christmas dinner, turkey, mince pies. You can tell what I'm looking forward to. Waiting for the stroke of midnight when we get to shout Happy New Year on the 31st of December. So much of this season is built around waiting. This, unlike any other time of year, we stretch out our celebration of Christmas. Indeed, I saw mince pies for sale in a supermarket, I won't name which one, in September. Now that really does feel like stretching out the Christmas season. Maybe some of you grumble about the Christmas decorations going up too early or the Christmas music being played on the radio too soon. Maybe it feels a bit too commercialized. In truth though, a lot of us look forward to this season in the year with a sense of it being special. We hope that during this holiday season, people will act a bit more nicely towards one another, a bit less road rage or shopping rage, perhaps. People in significant need, in financial distress, call out to churches and charities, hoping that there will be an extra dollop of generosity because it's Christmas. But to me, it feels weird to say we're awaiting the arrival of Jesus because he's already come 2,000 years ago. But our Advent readings are infused with this double sense of meaning. Our ancestors awaited the birth of the Messiah. You and I await the second coming of the Messiah. And as we do, we've heard the sermon of John the Baptist ringing in our ears this morning. That first sermon preached on the River Jordan in about 30 AD. What does the arrival of Jesus, his first coming, mean for us now in the living of our lives today? Why is it important that Jesus was born? In Luke chapter 3, in verses 2-3, which is just before our reading, it says this: "The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of forgiveness for sins." You see, John preached to everyone who came, the wealthy, the poor, the sophisticated, the urbanites, and the rough around the edges shepherds and fishermen. His word was for Jews and for Gentiles. Everyone was included. And to all he said, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." The bearing of fruit metaphor was used both by John the Baptist and by Jesus as a way of describing what is produced in the life of a believer. You may recall that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Beware of false prophets. You will know them by their fruit." Every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. Later on, Jesus says, God removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. You see, fruit is a sign of growth. When we lead others, those outside of the faith, to meet Jesus, we are bearing fruit. When we help new believers grow in their understanding of God, we bear fruit. When we share the story of Jesus with children and young people, we're seeking to bear fruit. When we guide believers into new opportunities for mission, evangelism, good works, we bear fruit. When we meet people in great need and help them out of our own abundance, we bear fruit. When through study and prayer we deepen our relationship with God, we bear fruit. When we encourage people who are hurting or in great pain, and when we walk with them through their trials, we bear fruit and grow as disciples. Jesus' very drastic statement is that when we do not bear fruit, our connection with him is severed. Remember, it says, God removes every branch that does not bear fruit. You see, there's no such thing as casual faith. We grow as disciples, or our faith is dead. And John says to his followers, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Repentance, of course, is making that full turn away from the temptation and the cultural trappings of the world around us and turning fully towards God. Repentance is the most radical change one can experience. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, John preaches, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Anyone who takes the word of God seriously would at this point in the story come to two conclusions. The first being thrown into the fire is judgment. It's the state of being cut off from God, failure to bear fruit, failure to live an active faith. It's equal to calling judgment down on ourselves. And we don't want to do that. We do not want to face life without God, much less face eternity after death without God. And the second conclusion is this. If we have to ask, how do we avoid this judgment? That's exactly what the crowds hearing John wanted to know. How do we avoid this impending judgment that we know is coming? In Luke chapter 3, verse 4, Luke quotes the prophet Isaiah, and he says this, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John is the one preparing the way for Jesus, the Messiah, the one who is the Lord. Because Jesus has come, everything has changed. That's why John issues the call for repentance. And that call involves changing in what our lives are all about. So what must we do? The crowds asked that question, and John offered a ready, practical response. When they said, what should we do? He said, whoever has two coats, share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food, share with anyone who is hungry. Judgment does not have to come for us. It's coming, and it will be harsher than we can imagine and will be final. God's judgment is to be feared because God is holy and he will not tolerate sin. But John offers a lifeline. Share with each other so that no one is freezing or starving or crippled by poverty. What should we do? The tax collectors asked. You all know that the tax collectors were imposed by the Roman Empire. And the Roman soldiers would force peasants to pay whatever the tax collector demanded. Most tax collectors demanded higher amounts than Rome required and got rich by pocketing the difference. They were basically thieves. What should we do? John doesn't tell them to quit the tax collecting business. Instead, he says, collect no more than the amount prescribed. In other words, work ethically. I wonder what that looks like in your job, where you work away from the church, out in the real world. That's where your discipleship is on display. It doesn't mean you're always talking about Jesus. Sometimes you might, and that might be appropriate. At other times, you do your secular work to the very best of your ability, and you do it honestly. When we live in integrity, we bear fruit. When we treat people around us with kindness, we bear fruit worthy of repentance. You can imagine the soldiers that were listening saying, "What should we do?" The soldiers were charged with maintaining order. They possessed unchecked power. They could bully the people and take what they wanted, and they generally did. What should we do? These soldiers who felt convicted by John's words. Do not extort money by threats, he answered. Be satisfied with your wages. Interestingly, he didn't tell them quit the military. John did not impose pacifism as a rule for God worshippers. In fact, his answer implies that they would go right on being soldiers, work that is by nature violent. But if we take the bullying, the threats, the intimidation of common folk out of the work, then the soldiers are responsible protectors who can be respected and even perhaps admired. When we use whatever power we possess for good, to help people, to contribute to people's flourishing, so we bear fruit. Sharing, acting ethically and honestly, protecting and helping are all ways we can in our lives bear fruit worthy of repentance. We choose to live this way because Jesus has come. His coming, his advent, is a sign that God's judgment is coming. We take that seriously and know that on Judgment Day, if we were to stand on our own merit, each and every one of us would be found lacking. So we repent. We live to worship God and to help others. We acknowledge God as Lord throughout our lives, not allowing any aspect of our life to be secular, apart from God's rule. And so we trust God. John knew that Jesus and not he was the Saviour and Lord. Remember, he said in his sermon, I am not worthy to untie his sandals. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He will judge, collecting the good fruit and bringing it into God's house, and casting the bad out to be burned, cut off from God. We can't control that harvest. We can't determine if we will be saved or judged. God judges, and we are at God's mercy. So John offers something we can all do in our lives right now as we wait. Because Jesus has come, and we can share, be honest, be ethical, be kind, be compassionate. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can live as people of the kingdom of God, even while we live in a world that often seems to be falling apart. And John promises the help of the Holy Spirit because Jesus baptizes us in the Spirit, and Jesus has come. And as we wait for his second coming, we live in the reality of his first coming. Our lives are different than the lives of non-believers because the Spirit is in us. The world needs us to be different, just as the world needed things to be different when Jesus was born. So, find someone with whom you can share. Find a hurting person in need of encouragement, or a lonely friend in need of compassion. When your work colleagues cut corners on the job, express your repentance by working ethically. And when the opportunity is there, tell someone about why Jesus is your Lord. Invite someone to come to worship with you, or come to an event to find out more about who Jesus is. This is the Advent fruit we have to share. And I believe that there are people out there that are hungry for it. My encouragement to you is live life and bear fruit worthy of the repentance that you've expressed in your lives because of who Jesus is and what he has done for you in your life. Let people see that you're different in the way that you live because of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we pray that when we leave the building this morning, we would hear those words echoing in our ears. What should we do? That you would call us to follow after you, to live lives worthy of the repentance that we've expressed. We know, Lord, that we're unable to do that in our own strength, and so we pray that you might fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning. Strengthen us, equip us, enable us to live lives worthy of your love for us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.